Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe. Probably more rain today. By the way, there is a lot of standing water. I just saw where some Rutherford County roads are closed. So,
yeah, be careful.
Keep that in mind if you're out and about. Adam Vingen from The Athletic is on the line with us. Adam, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not traveling back from Vancouver, which is probably a good thing. You were not on the road trip. What did you make of the road trip as a whole?
Well, the first half was great, and the second half was bad. Mm-hmm. That's all I really have for you. No.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
All right, guys.
See you tomorrow.
anyway. I was encouraged by what I saw in the first two games against Winnipeg and Calgary, and the game against Edmonton, of course, when you're up 2-0 with under 3 minutes left in the second period, you want to win that game or at least get a point out of it. I certainly don't think it was a question of effort in the loss to Edmonton, but I'm really not sure what happened last night. Now, of course, Vancouver, you know, their power play is finished the season against the Predators operating at like 95% or something to that effect. But this is why I have had a hard time this season believing in this group. Every time that you feel that they need to win a game, you know, even the game against Edmonton, I know I mentioned that it wasn't an issue of effort, but that's their opportunity to get into a playoff spot for the first time since November 13th. Every time I feel this group has an opportunity to finally make some positive ground, you think of the game against Vegas at home a few weeks ago, they blow it. And I do not blame the fans who are listening and who are watching the games for not believing in this group, because outside of a four-game winning streak in late October, which made them 8-3-1, they've shown no evidence that when they need to get over that hump, that they can do it. So I just think it was more of the same in that regard.
So let's talk about the ice time. Philip Forsberg took three shifts. Matt Duchene took three shifts in the second period. Ryan Johansson took four shifts. Those guys basically had in 10 to 11 and a half minutes. That was their window of ice time for the night. Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg. Ryan Johansson had the most minutes at 11:25. Matt Duchene had the lowest minutes at 10:04. Those guys, Matt Duchene played a minute and a half in the second period. Forsberg, 2.5. Johansson just shy of 3 minutes in the second period. John Hines has been very consistent with his message about everybody's playing time. What do you think is going on with some of his star players right now?
Well, I sort of grapple with the decision that John Hines, made last night, because I know that you tweeted it after the game, Darren, about the ice time, and Philip Forsberg ice time was a season low. Matthew Shane's was also a season low if you exclude the game in late October against Minnesota where he left with an injury. And then if you recall, he didn't play the next game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So if you take away that game, that was also the lowest amount of ice time Matthew Duchene has had this year. And you're right, he has been consistent. He benched Ryan Johansson, you know, a few weeks ago for not playing well. So I understand that aspect of it. Here's the flip side. You're down 4-0 in the game. You're not playing. You're not playing well. You want to get your star players' attention. But at the same time, you're also, at least in my opinion, crippling your team's chances of coming back by benching three of your most offensively gifted players. So, I mean, that's a good question that I intend to ask John Hines once this team gets back, is how do you balance holding your players accountable while also not preventing them from having the best chance to win by taking the most talented offensive players off the ice when you're down by four goals.
I would say the best counter he would have to a very good question and a good point by you is Matt Duchene has one goal in the last 12 games. Philip Forsberg has two goals in the last 10 games, and those were both in one game versus New Jersey. Ryan Johansson, who is a top-line centerman, has 5 points in the last 15 games. Two goals and three assists.
Yeah. I completely understand your point of view, and their all three of their performances as of late have not been good. But I'm just wondering if you're, what's the saying, cutting off your nose to spite your face?
Sure.
I mean, it's a fine line because John Hines has to get these players' attention. He's their new coach. He's going to be their coach. They're trying to get into a playoff spot. But you also have to understand that while the Predators did respond quickly with goals from Craig Smith and Mikael Granlund, who have been playing very well, you know, by putting three of your best players on the bench, even if they are struggling, I feel like you're giving your team you're giving your team less of a chance to get back in the game in order to make a point.
Okay,
so it's hard for me to really pick one side.
I understand. I get both sides, but let me pose this to you, Adam. John Hines, I'll continue to go back to, this is what the head coach is saying. And by the way, he said it again last night in postgame, okay, when asked from Vancouver media about the ice time. He's making it abundantly clear, if you play well and you give, he talks a lot about mentality and attitude and what's your emotion, right? He's talking about those. To me, he is clearly, especially when it keeps happening to the same guys, he's calling them out. He is calling them out without calling them out by sitting them on the bench. He's basically saying the effort is not there. I'm not seeing the effort that I need to see, or the energy or attitude or whatever you want to describe out of his top guys, and that's why they're not playing much, because he keeps referencing that, and those are the guys that keep losing time, unless you're an Austin Watson and you're a healthy scratch. But we're talking about guys that are leadership guys and guys who have big contracts and big money. So I ask you this question. If you want to send a message, and there are people that are siding with your comments, I get that. People are like, doesn't matter. Those are your big weapons. Those are your big. So how do you, as a head coach, send a message if you are not satisfied with their play or their effort? How do you send a message without? What do you do? You put them on the fourth line? Do you want to put – you can't – so it's either put them on the fourth line, a healthy scratch, you're in the same boat, or you reduce their playing time. Like, what message is there to say? Or do you just call them out? You think that's the right way to go? Just call them out in the media like Dallas did last year with their stars? I mean, what's the right way to go about it? I don't know what you want the guy to do. He's clearly sending a message through the media and – with his decision-making in their play or lack of, that he is not satisfied with their play. It's got to be better.
Don't yell at me. Stop yelling at me. No, I'm kidding.
Or maybe he could just yell at him. Maybe he could just do that.
But I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Darren, because ice time is a coach's greatest weapon. It's, you know, if you're not going to play well, you're not going to play. And even a couple of weeks ago when Ryan Johansson played, 10 minutes, 8 seconds?
Yep.
I can't remember which game that was.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, when he said that, you know, if players want to play, they're going to have to play well. I mean, that was the closest thing.
That was the Toronto game, wasn't it? Wasn't it the Toronto game?
I think it may have been the Toronto game.
Yeah.
That was the closest thing to a call-out that we have heard from a Predators head coach in a long time. I know mm-hmm. Barry Trotz was not shy about questioning his players' efforts. I know I wasn't here for Barry when he was here, but I was with him in Washington, and I know he's not afraid to do that. Peter Laviolette was averse to criticizing his players, and perhaps I honestly don't think Peter Laviolette was hard enough on these players. So I think John Hines is doing the right thing, I guess, and perhaps I'll have a better answer for you tomorrow once I ask him about it. I would just be curious as to how he goes about sending a message to the players that absolutely need to have a message sent to them, while also not icing the a weaker lineup because he's got three high-paid players sitting on the bench for 15 minutes at a time.
You see what I mean? Like, I understand your point. And there are a lot of people that understand your points, and there's a lot of people that understand, you know, where I'm coming from.
Like, he just hit on something else,
too. Where do you – that's what I'm getting at. Like, so what do you want a head coach to do? I mean, if you have to send a message, and your message – look, it's – I don't want to say this. This is not being disrespectful.
Did it have to be 15 minutes? Could it have been 7 or 8 or 8 or 10? Did they have to sit for as long as they did, I guess, would be the follow-up question.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's, you know, it's a guy like Austin Watson that gets the healthy scratch, right? Like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Like, you send a message, you get the healthy scratch. But that's the guy who's, you know, typically a fourth-line guy. He's not making a ton of money, and so that's the easy thing to do. But what do you do with superstar players with big, huge, long, guaranteed contracts? I mean, I don't know what else he can do unless you want him to throw sticks like Mike Yeo did at practice, throw sticks on the ice and go crazy at a practice. I don't know what the right thing to do as a head coach at a professional level when you're trying to get superstars' attention.
No, it's hard because, you know, if John Hines were to scratch one of those players, that's DEFCON 1, right? If John Hines were to scratch Ryan Johansson,
mm-hmm.
for example,
yep.
who's never been scratched as a member of the Nashville Predators, that's DEFCON 1. You know, then that causes a lot of chatter amongst us and others and around the league. But, you know, the other question is just, you know, do you bump them down to a bottom six or fourth line role? Or do you take them off the power play or something like that? You know, it's hard. I mean, I do not envy John Hines. I absolutely do not envy John Hines because it's a difficult thing to do when you want to make sure that you're giving your players the leash that they need to perform to their best, but also not giving them the entire leash and letting them run free when they're not playing well. So, you know, I don't blame John Hines for what he did last night. I would just be curious to hear a little bit more from his viewpoint on what his philosophy is on that particular kind of thing.
If we all remember, Peter Laviolette was sending a message to Kyle Turris. And oh, by the way, his contract is less. Okay, he makes less money than the three guys that we're talking about. And how did that work? How did Kyle Turris go into the fourth line? How did that all play out? Or healthy scratch? How'd that relationship work? Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I have a point on Peter Laviolette.
So to my point, what do you want him to do? We just watched that play out. Peter Laviolette put Kyle Turris on the fourth line. He also made him a healthy scratch. And how did that work? Their relationship got severed. True?
Yes.
Okay. I I'm not saying that would happen with these guys. I don't know how they would react. I'm just simply saying I don't know what a head coach is supposed to do. He's clearly sending a message saying, I need more. This team needs more from you. What else can I do other than you want to be out there, you want to be playing, and I'll just take some of that away from you? I don't know, unless you go the far extreme and then you take a risk of happening about what we just said. Peter Laviolette did that with Kyle Turris. He cracked the whip, and that did not go well.
No, it did not.
Okay. Do you have another segment in here? Or do you have to go?
Only if you're not going to yell at me.
I'm going to be the one asking questions.
I can't promise you that. I'm not going to make that promise.
Okay.
How about fine. I reduce my minutes with you in the next segment?
Okay, fine.
All right. Adam Vinken on the other side. You can find his work at The Athletic. He's a little soft today. I got to be honest. I need to toughen him up.
I don't know if he's soft. You just brought it. You're feisty.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is.
Maybe that's what it is. All right. More with Adam, who does a tremendous job. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night. That's Wednesday. Smashville Live. Elijah always puts us in a good mood. Preds player guests will be Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber. It'll be in Bellevue. Back out. Chase just keeps getting everything in his backyard. Boomba's Craft Pizza, and Tap House. That's located at 8016 Highway 100. The show is from 7 until 8. There'll be a limited number of autographs and pictures, so get there early. Tomorrow night's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. And Chase, you will be in the host seat?
I will.
It'll be a fun night. Those guys are great guys. If you've never met Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber, great guys. So get out to Bellevue. If you're out in the Bellevue area, stop by Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House, located out there at 8016 Highway 100. Once again, that's from 7 until 8 o'clock. Adam Vinken from The Athletic. That's where you can find his work. He does a tremendous job there. And Adam, put out, let everybody know how they can find you on Twitter.
Adam?
Is Adam there?
Did you scare him off?
Hello.
Oh, there he is. You must.
Here I am.
You muted yourself.
Didn't you?
I know. I was so frightened of you yelling at me. Back on the air.
Now, how long have you been around me? Stop painting the picture that you're frightened. You've been around me for many years.
Maybe he's been frightened the whole time.
You're an opposing figure.
Oh, stop it.
He's something.
Hey, by the way, let me just say this before Chase jumps in here. The Duke-North Carolina game Saturday night was I don't think I've ever seen a crazier finish twice than that game.
Yeah, I can't recall ever seeing the purposely missed free throw work that well.
Right.
As it did when Trey Jones hit the buzzer beater to send it to overtime, and I was sitting on the couch, actually wearing my grandfather's old Duke sweatshirt, when Wendell Moore tipped it in, and I jumped off the couch, and I'm sure my wife was embarrassed. My dog jumped off the couch. He was barking. He wasn't sure what was going on. I was very excited. There's nothing – for me, it was less about the shot going in. I mean, you watch the replay. It's great no matter what angle you look at. But for me, what sustains me is just seeing the slow-motion realization from the Carolina fans at the Dean Dome that the game is over. Just the look of pain and anguish on their faces just warms my heart. You know, I could watch that all day. So that was just as good as the game's out. That was just as good as the buzzer beater, to be honest.
Adam Vinken of The Athletic, also co-host of the Smash Brothers Friday nights at 6 here on ESPN 102.5, the game alongside Robbie Stanley, made their debut last week. So glad to have them on board. All right, so I'm sitting here listening to this conversation and Darren yell at you, and you said something in the last segment that really stuck out, and that was about Peter Laviolette. And I think that we all agree that the deal with Peter Laviolette, the narrative, however you want to put it, was he'd go to a team, he'd get a lot out of them for the first couple of years, he could be tough on players at times, and then he'd kind of lose them, and then he'd be out. And he lasted longer here than he did anywhere else, and I think part of the reason, and this is my opinion, that he realized he had to kind of change his ways and change some of his coaching style to not be that, you know, that guy like he had been in the past. And he said earlier this year that he had turned a lot of things over to the players, that he wanted the players to police themselves within the locker room. I hear that, and on paper, okay, that sounds good. But do you think that there is a chance that he backed off too much with Kyle Turris aside? But he backed off a little too much, and things got a little complacent, maybe lazy at times with this group, and that's why they're having some of the issues that they're having now?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm always hesitant to use the L word, lazy, while referring to professional athletes, because they wouldn't be where they are if they were lazy. But, you know, complacency might be a good word. Just because, you know, there hasn't really been much turnover in that room. And I was struck by what David Poile.
And that's not on everybody, by the way. There are some guys that they go out and they give it every night and everybody knows who they are.
It's not the entire room. But I was struck by something that David Poile said, or just the tone in general that David Poile took a month ago when he discussed the decision to fire Peter Laviolette. And I don't want to go as far as to say that David Poile exonerated Peter Laviolette from wrongdoing in leading to his firing, because of course the coach has to, you know, the coach had to not be doing something right in order to be let go. But he placed all of the blame, or most of the blame, on the players, as if to say, look what you made me do. I did not want to do this. Look what you made me do. And I think that was a shot across the bow at the players. And you know, he even said that could have worked with Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy for much longer, but just felt like he couldn't do it anymore. You know, the blame was placed on the players, absolutely. And the players took the blame. So, you know, it's always hard for me to answer these questions just because I'm not in the room when these conversations are happening. We're not in the room when these conversations are happening. Right. But I wonder if, you know, perhaps Peter Laviolette, in a way, internalized the pressure that was mounting on the team, and wonder if that had an effect on maybe him pulling back or not being as much of a disciplinarian. I don't know, but it's worth wondering. And you know, I appreciate John Hines for the fact that he is willing to call out his players.
Yeah.
From a media standpoint, from my personal standpoint, it drove me nuts that Peter Laviolette was unwilling to criticize his players. And I understand that he wants to protect his players first and foremost, but it just felt like accountability, it just made it seem that the accountability wasn't as high as it should have been. But that's just me.
No, and that's why I brought it up. So looking ahead, and you know, as you said, with the road trip to start this, the first half was good, the second half wasn't. The questions are going to continue to mount of what do you do at the trade deadline if you're David Poile? Mikael Granlund is one of the bright spots of this team right now. He is playing like the Mikael Granlund that they traded for at last year's trade deadline, but he's an unrestricted free agent. So we talked last week about the piece you had coming up on The Athletic that has since been published about your trade tiers. Ryan and I discussed it last night on Preds Insiders. Mikael Granlund to me is the biggest question, because right now I think he's got value if you were to move on from him.
He absolutely does. And I think the question is, you know, if you're another team, and Pierre LeBrun talked about this with Robbie and I on our show on Friday, is, you know, you see him thriving, you see Granlund thriving under John Hines, but you also have to wonder, are you getting the player that was a near 70-point player in Minnesota, or are you getting the player that struggled through most of his time in Nashville? And while Granlund has been great under John Hines, it is a smaller sample. So, you know, Pierre said on our show that he thinks that the Predators could net a second-round pick and a prospect for Mikael Granlund, and I think that's a price that they should be willing to pay. It goes back to our original conversation. I mean, there's still plenty of games. There's still plenty of games left in the season. They play, I think, 8 of their next 10 at home, which is actually a bad thing considering they're not good at home. They should play 8 of their next 10 on the road. That actually might be better. But they play 8 out of their next 10 at home. You know, they've got a big game against the Islanders on Thursday. They've got a huge home-and-home with the St. Louis Blues over the weekend. You know, I feel like by the end of this week, we're going to know whether or not this team is going to make the playoffs or not, to be honest with you. And just, it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, that I want to believe in this team. I really do. They're a talented group on paper. You know, they played, you know, the way they played in October, you know, I think justified the hype that surrounded them entering the season, but I just don't have faith in this particular group to do what it needs to do to make a push for the playoffs. So I'm not saying give up on the season, but I'm also saying don't hold all of your cards. If you can get something from Mikael Granlund, if you can get a second round pick and a prospect, and that gives you three second round picks in the draft this year, because they have the Devils pick as well from the PK Subban trade, you do it. I just don't think you have to. I just don't think you can wait. I think if the right offer presents itself, you have to take it.
I know you got to go, but last one on my end, because this is how I look at it. Let's say you do move on from the players that are carrying your team right now, that are playing well. Craig Smith, Mikael Granlund, you can throw Bonino in that category, and you just say, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs. Let's get what we can for these guys. Do you think that then forces all the guys we've been discussing that need to step up their game, it almost forces them to do it because they don't have a safety blanket anymore. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Because, look, I think you may have said this last night, Chase, or Ryan did on Insiders, but if this team misses the playoffs, a message has to be sent. This group cannot return intact if this group misses the playoffs. And somebody's going to have to go. This is just my opinion. And it's going to have to be someone who's going to grab the players' attention. I think Elliot Freeman said with you guys last week that, you know, if they were to trade Victor Arvidsson, like, that's something you have to sell in the room, right? Isn't that what he said? Like,
yeah.
that's something that, you know, you're going to have to – it's going to catch people's attention, and you're going to have to sell it to the room. Like, if this team misses the playoffs, someone's got to go. That's just my opinion. I don't know who it's going to be or how what it's going to cost, but someone who may be getting a little too comfortable needs to go. So if those players are traded, the Kyle Graylin, Craig Smith, Nick Bonino, what have you, and those players don't step up in their absences, you know, they should be looking at their cell phone during the summertime and waiting for a call from David Poile.
This is a big rest of the week. Thursday night against the Islanders and two huge tilts against St. Louis over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
And it's Hockey Day in America.
That's right.
Don't forget about Hockey Day in America.
NBC.
Winter Classic jerseys.
NBC triple header, and the final game will be the Predators and the Blues here, 5 o'clock start. Adam, good to talk to you as always. We'll talk soon.
All right, Darren. Thanks for not yelling at me.
All right. All right.
See ya.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic. I'm going to have to reduce his minutes. Getting a little soft on us.
Maybe.
He's tougher than that.
You didn't really yell. You just talked loudly.
Yeah.
Passion. You brought the passion. That's what Terry Crisp wants us to.
I thought Terry Crisp would be proud.
He would like it.
He says bring the passion every night. That's what we try to do every day on the show.
He does. And
bring
the passion. We bring the passion. All right. Look, I think.
Let's get him down the other side. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
All right, more on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. What is this? Is this another one Bites the Dust?
No, it's Sugar Hill Gang.
Rapper's Delight.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you threw me off. It's got a little Queen in there.
Well, that bass line was used in several songs.
I didn't realize how close it did kind of have that Another One Bites the Dust until you mentioned it.
I didn't listen to the whole thing. I just stuck my headset on and heard kind of the, when I started talking, and that I was like, oh, is that, are you playing Queen?
Close. I never realized how close the bass line sounds.
There's a song called Good Times that Sugar Hill Gang actually sampled, and that's where this beat comes from. But then Queen, I mean, it's a bass line that's been used in a few songs.
It's very close.
Yeah. There are no new ideas.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that.
I'm just saying.
Who was it that recently got... sued them over.
Sam Smith did the song Stay With Me, and Tom Petty, before he passed, sued him because it was basically I Won't Back Down.
Yeah.
The melody.
That's exactly
So when... Sam Smith won a Grammy for that song. Tom Petty also won a Grammy because he got credit.
All right, let's talk about our discussion we've had with Adam Vinken and really all morning to this point. So you were going to say something, and I said, hey, let's save it for the other side. So go where you were going to go, and then we'll pick up from there.
No, I mean, all I was really going to say was to kind of set this up of I think we hit on a lot of really good points, all three of us. Adam, you... And me, we all had some theories on why things are the way they are. And my whole thing with Laviolette is, and look, let's put, you know, this aside for a second. There are a lot of good things that happened under Peter Laviolette. It's well documented. There are banners hanging in that arena under his tenure as head coach. But if you look at his history in the NHL, he lasts, you know, his job lifespan is usually about 4 years. And he surpassed that here. And I think when you look at the exit last year and the issues that they had, the power play never got going throughout the season. And you had many experts and people, us, that talk about the team going, all right, do you need to make some sort of coaching change? Not head coach, but the assistants, whether it's McCarthy or Muse or whatever. And they ended up adding rather than subtracting. They brought in Lambert. Well, it started off the year it worked. I mean, the power play looked better.
October was a good month.
October was a good month.
It ended last day poorly.
Right.
And that kind of set the tone for November.
But I'll go back to two things that Peter Laviolette said earlier in the year.
By the way, real quick, do you remember when I said that game ended, the Halloween night game against Calgary? Remember, Preds were up 4-1 after two. It was, what, 5-5, went to overtime.
Yep.
And Tkachuk had the between-the-legs goal.
0.1 seconds.
With 1 second to go. Did you see who won the game last night for the Flames?
Tkachuk?
Or Tkachuk, did you see the goal he had?
Was it the same?
Between the legs. Between the legs and roofed it.
So the two things that Peter Laviolette said at the beginning of the season that really stood out to me and stand out even more now looking back on the fact. Number one, he did an interview on Morning Drive and said that one thing he's doing this year is turning things over more to the players, that he wants the leadership in the room to take care of a lot of things. And in my opinion, I tie that back to in years past, it hasn't been that way. It's been he's ruling, it's his way, he expects a lot of his players. And so I think from the standpoint of, you know, trying to change the mindset and let them have a little more say, that's why he did that. And then the second part, he said, and I can't remember what interview it was that he said it, it may have been with us, that when they brought in Dan Lambert, that part of that, there were some options that were presented to him in the offseason that he was uncomfortable with. You can think, you know, you can look into that as deep as you want of what that means exactly. But I kind of tie all that back into Peter Laviolette loved his time here. I think we all know that. He did a lot of good things and didn't want it to end. And I don't think David Poile necessarily wanted it to end, but you got to make those tough decisions sometime to try and get your team back to where they need to be. And so I'm wondering if everything he tried to do to correct the wrong, you know, do a course correction of where the ship was going, if it backfired on him and ultimately cost him his job.
It's an interesting point because me and you had talked a lot more privately about Peter Laviolette and, you know, his tenure here and going into this past season. And I told you, I said, look, Peter Laviolette genuinely loves living here in Nashville. He loves this job. He loves the Predators organization, what this fan base is like, the, you know, everything. All the boxes are checked. He really loves being here. And I said, he probably has never had that feeling before because Philadelphia is a tough market to work in, right? And New York is a tough market to work in, and they're just different than Nashville. Now, Raleigh, North Carolina is a, you know, a nice market, nothing wrong there. And certainly he had success in Carolina.
Yeah,
as we know.
The cup.
He won the cup.
He was also, you know, it was earlier in his career.
He
was still a young coach.
And that's another thing. He's in a different place in his life now. Now that he's older, he's seasoned. And look, we all change. Well, we don't all change, but most change as we get older. Not everybody. And that's not exactly a good thing. I think we should all change and evolve as people. We should try to always strive to be better, constantly. Always work on yourself. And I told you that, you know, he really wants to be here. And so you know that we had a lot of those conversations. In fact, I even asked him the last time we talked to him was training camp at Centennial. It's the last time he was on this show. And I brought up year one to where we sit today. And remember his long answer that he gave us that day at Centennial when I asked him, when you first got here to where you sit today, and just how much he glowed about all the above I just said. But when you brought that to my, you know, when you just said that to me and you brought it up on air and off the air, I started thinking about it. And I was like, you know what? There may be a lot of truth to that. That maybe he liked it so much that he didn't want to get fired and didn't want to repeat the steps maybe he's had in the past. Like you said, it's been basically a 4-year window. He had never been anywhere longer than he had been here. That maybe he took the foot too far off the gas.
it's all about finding the balance, and sometimes it's hard to do that. And I use the word lazy, and that's not the right word to use. I think complacent.
I'm with Adam. Yeah. I don't like lazy.
Yeah, I don't either. I think complacent is the right word to use. Comfortable, however you want to put it.
Comfortable is a good word.
You know, and I think that's what happened. And that's what's going to happen when you have the same people together for as long as they've been together. Yes, they've had some changes here and there. But for the most part, you've had the core group of this team together for 4 or 5 years now. And some longer, because they came up through Milwaukee together because they've been draft picks. And so it's really hard to, you know, I had somebody use this analogy to me one time, and I really, really like this one. When you drive, you take the same route to work every day. Most people do. Most people go the same way to work every day. And you pass by billboards. Well, if there's a billboard that you pass that they put it up and it's got a message on it, you notice it the first few times you pass by. But if it doesn't change for a year, it's just a billboard. You know, it just you just keep driving by it. You don't notice it anymore. And I think that happens sometimes. And I feel like that maybe that's what has happened with this team. And I know for David Poile, and you've known him a lot longer than I have, but I'd like to think I've gotten where, you know, I have a good relationship with him, and I know how passionate he is. I know that it's so important to him for this team to be successful because it is his baby. We say that all the time because it's the truth. They gave him the dirt, and he put it all together and built the house. That's what he did. And he wants to win a cup, not only for himself, but for this city. And so I know how hard it is when things aren't going right for him to, A, say things aren't going right and have to make these changes. I know that that eats at him. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think that that's kind of where he was at with the coaching change. And it may be where he's at with some people on this roster that you get to the offseason. Playoffs or not, like if they miss the playoffs and they get there and they get knocked out 5 games, I think it's the same result. You make changes.
We'll come back and continue this discussion. And I'm going to ask out of the gates, I want you to just think about this during the break. What do you do? Okay, you heard very passionate discussion, a back and forth. So what do you do? A lot of you are screaming about some of these players' play. And so put yourself in a head coach role. Okay, what do you do? You got guaranteed contracts. They're professionals. What do you do? We'll talk about that to close out the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, 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 yak.
So think about it. Philip Forsberg is a star player. He's somebody you're counting on for your success. By the way, he leads the team in goals with 18. He has 2 goals in the last 10 games. Ryan Johansson is your first-line centerman. He's a guy that you signed up after the run to the Stanley Cup final. What, 8 years? $64 million? Making $8 million a year. 5 points as a number one centerman in the last 15 games. Or you could just say 2 goals in the last 15 games. But I included the points because he's very good with assists. And we know he has a lot of assists, but he has 5 points in the last 15 games. Matt Duchene, your big prize free agent in the offseason. Yet again, signed
traded
up.
Traded P.K. Subban away, by the way.
Signed up. Set, what, 7 years? $8 million?
Yep.
1 goal in the last 12 games. Okay, a lot of you have been saying that's just not good enough. Okay. I think it's hard to argue against that. I think we all see it night in and night out. We saw it on display in Edmonton. I mean, they are truly a two-man horse. If they were Iditarod, it's 2 dogs pulling that sled.
Yeah.
Across the terrain. 2 dogs, Draisaitl and McDavid. I mean, it's disgusting. Those two guys are, you know, in the 80s in points, in like the next best player. Nugent Hopkins is, what, in the 30s?
Right.
I've never seen anything like that.
But I wouldn't say Edmonton is in. I mean, they're in the playoffs right now with 64 points, but, I mean, Nashville's got 59. So, I mean, they're in the Pacific Division, so it could be they're in good shape. But I wouldn't say that that formula is necessarily working to the degree that everybody thought it
would.
Well,
no, they need more talent, but they have to also pay those guys.
Right.
And so, therefore, it gets into the kitty. Same with Toronto. Yeah. It's got Austin Matthews has, 38 goals. And you've got two guys in the league with 40 goals now. And so, or is it Austin Matthews at 40? Or who's at 40? It's Ovechkin and who else hit 40? I saw that the other day.
Just a moment. I think it's him, but I want to make sure that he has Austin Matthews is at 40, yeah.
Okay, so.
That's what I thought. 68 points.
Ovechkin with 40. Obviously, the Capitals are having a year. Pasternak's at 38. Mm-hmm. I think McKinnon's at 38. And what are all those teams? I mean, I'm saying the point is you got to have somebody really pulling the sled. Usually these teams, these playoff teams, they got one. They got somebody that steps up, like Draisaitl took over in the third period. So the point is, you've got these guys. And Matt Duchene has one goal in the last 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so everybody knows you need more from those guys. Those are basically that's basically a first line right there.
Why isn't Philip Forsberg that guy for this team? That's the question.
I mean, we've all been saying he's the one who's going to break the 40-goal barrier, and it's not going to happen. Not this year. And so I ask everybody out there listening, the people that have been complaining, and depending on which side that you are, you're on, because there's a lot of people that agreed with what Adam said. Well, why would you take those guys out of lineup? That doesn't increase your chances or play them less. That doesn't increase your chances of winning. Well, which one is it? If you need production, you're not getting it. So what do you do? What do you do if you're the head coach? That's all I was asking. Okay, well, fine. Then don't decrease anything, and then what? Poof, this is magically going to change because you don't do anything? I mean, what is a head coach supposed to do? I thought the head coach is supposed to, in times like this, get the most out of every player, and especially your star players. So what do? If you're not getting the production or you don't see, and like I said, he's clearly sending a message. He says it. And by the way, he talks about words about effort and guys that are bringing it, playing the way we need you to play. He said that last night. I'm kind of paraphrasing. We could play that audio. And basically that's saying Craig Smith, Granlund, Bonino, Rocco, the same guys that have been playing well of late. Well, they're playing what we need to.
Right.
They're playing the way. And I'm talking about forwards. We know what Romanosi's done this year. I don't need to.
He's not a part of
this. We're talking about forwards. So what do you do?
Well,
what do you do if you're head coach? Like I said, do you go, Mike Yeo? Do you blow up in practice and throw sticks everywhere and go and have somebody video it and have you go absolutely bonkers out of practice? Do you healthy scratch? Well, we're right back to square one. I mean, if you don't agree with less minutes,
I mean, that didn't work.
You're not going to be on board with a healthy scratch. So you move him down the fourth line. I used the same example that I brought up in the interview with Adam. Well, that happened with Kyle Turris. And how did that work? How'd that work? Kyle Turris relationship player with head coach. Didn't work. And so do we know it's going to work in this case? So what do? You have to do something.
Before I give you my answer, let me read this. Nate from Nashville sends this on the text line. Maybe another big trade similar to the magnitude of the Weber-Subban trade needs to be made. These, quote, wake-up calls aren't working from the coach, so maybe a true wake-up call needs to be made with a trade. I don't necessarily disagree with that, Nate. I think that's an off-season move. I don't think you can do a blockbuster. You can, but I think you do that in the off-season, and that's going to get more of an impact. I'll throw it to you like this, like I brought up with Adam.
By the way, how many more wake up calls do you
need? Yeah, I hate that phrase.
It's game. It's okay to say that. It's game 55. The head coach who started the season and an assistant coach who started the season have already been fired.
Yeah.
Okay, they've already been fired mid season. You traded one of your stars. There was another. Hey, hello, PK Subban. We're sending him to New Jersey. What? The signs have been there. The writing has been on the wall. Everybody knows that last season didn't go the way that they wanted to. They underachieved, they inconsistent, and they got bounced in the first round. What more do you, I mean, what more wake-up calls do you need? What do they need to do at this point? There's 27 games to go. They've been out of the playoff picture since November 13th, the middle of November. We're in the middle of February.
Right. No, I look. I get
either
it.
It's going to happen or it's not going to happen. Right? I mean, what else are you supposed to do? Going back to your billboard, you want billboards?
Right. Well, so let me ask you this. Do you, and like I brought up with Adam, if David decides that, okay, you know what, this is just not going to happen, and he gets what he can get. Right now, the players with the most value are the ones that are playing the best for you.
The ones who are playing their arse off.
Yeah, so you trade Craig Smith, you trade Mikhail Granlund, you trade Nick Bonino. You just say, you know what, that's it. We're going to trade those guys. You get some value, you get draft capital, you could get some players back, but you get something to build, not for this year, but for the future. It can go one of two ways. It gets worse and the landslide continues, or is that the wake-up call for the players we've been talking about that all of a sudden they're like, oh, blank, now we got to step it up. If that's what it takes, then that's a problem.
Exactly. And by the way, how do you really do a wake-up call to somebody with a guaranteed long-term contract?
I know.
How do you do that?
Because in some ways, they can have the mindset of, I'm going to get paid.
No matter what, I'm getting my money. Doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm not saying that's going on. I'm just saying, how do you do that?
I know.
By the way, what you just said, you just laid out, you just said they're punting on the season. Why? They're not out of it.
I know.
They're not punting on the season.
I know, but that goes back to the conversation that we've had with David Boyle. He didn't know what he's going to do yet.
Can they still get in the playoffs? Absolutely.
Sure.
They're just on the outside looking in, but I mean, they're what, 4 points?
They're right there. I mean, they're right there, but they've been knocking on the door. When I said they've been playing like a playoff team, that was what you threw back at me yesterday was, well, what's changed? They've been knocking on the door for the past month.
Yeah. We'll come back third hour. We kick it off with Kevin Burkhart. That's next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.